We'll just go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word tonight, God, and we just come before the throne, Lord Father God, and we just love you, Lord Father, and just thank you for your goodness and mercy, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you just bless your word to let it go forth with power and free course. Allow me the privilege, Lord God, to stand beneath the flow of the anointing that the Holy Ghost, Lord Father God, give me guidance and direction, Lord Father God. Let me to stand, Lord Father God, before you, Father, that Lord, when we do this job, Lord Father God, it's going to be through you and by you, Lord God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Give you honor and praise and glory for it all. Thank you for that anointing. In Christ's name, amen. In chapter 8, this particular chapter, this was after the stoning of Stephen in chapter 7, and that people were dealing with the persecution of the church, and there's things that were going on, and it's very difficult to think that the church survived even through all of the hardships that at the beginning of it, because we have to realize and understand that God had His hand in the midst of it all. And the early church had some difficulties and problems because, they out and out just they murdered him. They murdered him. I mean, there was the Roman Colosseum. If you just would get a picture of it was for the entertainment of people that the Christians were martyred in that arena. But at this point in time, it says in the first verse of chapter 8, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," talking of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now they had some very difficult times as the Apostle Paul was wreaking havoc of the church. It wasn't just him. He had men behind him. He had armies behind him. He wasn't just one man walking into these houses. He had many people that were wreaking havoc of the churches, and all they could do, it says, is that after they had the burial of Stephen, and it was very sad, and if you read chapter 7, and if you've got a heart for God, it'll break your heart. But as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, look at this one verse of Scripture. I believe it's God, is of God. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. They weren't just gathered in one place, in one area. God spoke to, Jesus spoke to them and said to go to every part of the world and to preach the word, so they were kind of gathered together at one point in time, and sometimes some things come along to kind of, God, what the devil meant for evil, God will make for good. He scattered them abroad, and as he scattered them abroad, they went everywhere, preaching the word of God, seeing signs and wonders and watching the power of God being manifested through their ministry and watching what Jesus had taught them and preached to them and what the apostles had put in their hearts and minds. They were watching and seeing these things coming to pass and watching this power of God work. I can't wait until the time. Brother Gary, there's going to be, there just has to be, there has to be a moving of God. I mean, there is a little bit, but there's going to be a power of God beginning to move and to shake. I'm not prophesying or anything as such, or maybe I am, I don't know, but I'm telling you tonight, the hand of God is going to move. It has to. And we're going to see the power of God because we're seeing a world that's seeing people that have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And if I, as the man of God, will get up and just go. I can excuse myself many different ways. Well, I'm getting too old. I am. I'm 60 years old. I've got a lot going on in the church. My knees are killing me. I'll get sunburned on the top of my head if I don't watch it. I can make many different excuses for myself. But let's hope that I don't have to wait around and make so many excuses that I have to wait for God to push me like he did these men. As we go on in the fifth verse, he says, "And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Everybody remembers Philip being chosen with Stephen and the others that would go out and to minister to the Greek people and because they were upset, you know, like playing the race card. "Man, y'all ain't working for us and helping us all, you know." And we said, "Well, we'll tell you what we'll do." And they chose seven men that were full of the Holy Ghost and of good report and powerhouses for God and honest men. And they said, "Okay, we'll go for that." So they were out ministering. But this says, "Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." God blessed Philip. The power of God was working and being manifested in his ministry. He had to be one of God's favorites because he wrote him down. You know, and he's one of the ones, you know, that I look up to and one of the heroes in the book of Acts that I think a lot of, because I know that he carried out his walk. He lived his walk. And further on into his life, if you read, was touched by the hand of God. And he had daughters that were prophetesses. But Philip went down into the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Wow. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many, and there were that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with the palsies and were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. You see, he didn't go on a circuit of evangelism. You know, he walked the streets. He wasn't, didn't get assigned to this church for this week, and you know, I'll be in at Souls Harbor's church and that week, I got a 2 week evangelistic crusade over here. But no, he was setting up in the market squares and wherever he could and preaching Christ. And when the sick and the afflicted came, he had no problem of reaching out, laying hands on people in the name of Jesus and watching the power of God just work. The Spirit of God was, he was casting devils out of people, and they were going out and crying out with loud voices and falling to the ground as dead people. I know that the Bible doesn't state that, but I can kind of know what happens and what the function of the Spirit is. But as he laid hands on people, the power of God was shown to them real. Those that were sick, those that were afflicted with palsies and paralytics, and those that weren't able to walk were being healed, and the power of God was just so real. And man, now they got to get a job. Can you imagine all of your life being laid up and people carrying you around, or your hands so crippled that you can't do anything for yourself? But then that next morning, what that day would be to you, you would be enjoying that next day of your first new legs and your first way to walk, you know, and looking at your feet. just looking at them. Look at them, brother, they work. Look at them. Look at my hands. I can drink my own coffee now. That's a big plus now, ain't it? I have many here that will say amen. But I remember the first day that I was able I was able to enjoy my life as a Christian. I was no longer spiritually sick. Brother Dan, God saved me, Brother James, and when he saved me the next morning, I was still saved. I woke up and I walked through the house and I felt the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength and was my strength, and I didn't know what that was like. But that next morning, whoo, glory to God, if I told you about Jesus, you would be backing up for me. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you, brother. All right. Or you'd turn your heart over to the Lord, but I just couldn't help it. But I enjoyed my first day as a saved man. I praise God for that today. And these people were enjoying their first day of a healed person, a whole person, somebody that I can stand up straight. I can throw this stinky bed away. I can buy new clothes after I go to work so I can afford to pay for them. But I can change my clothes. I can do things that normal people do. Sometimes I wonder what normal is. I look at myself and that ain't it. Thank you, Lord. But as these that were held in bondage to unclean spirits, they were enjoying their first day of spiritual freedom, of clear mind, clear thinking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Isn't God a wonderful God? Hallelujah. God is a wonderful God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. I can see some of the old saints of God. I can see Brother Husky's face appearing in my mind. And I remember when I first started to come to Full Gospel Church, and the power of God was just touched my life, you know, and I was fresh. I was brand new saved, and I walked in, you know, see, because, you know, once God done a work in your life, you know, it's just, ain't it something, Brother James? When God does a work in your life, it's something. And me and my brother, you know, we work out a little bit together, and when me and him get to talking about the Lord, you know, I see it in his face, and oh, yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. But I remember when I came into Full Gospel Evangelistic Church, then they added more words to it. I just got to be able to say that title. But I remember I stood to testify. And as I stood to testify, Sister Rachel, I begin to cry, and as I begin to weep, and I begin to, I don't know, I just started to pound on the back of the pew that I was standing in front of, or behind, or whatever, and I kept apologizing because my voice started getting a little bit louder. And the thing about it was that I was a brand new, fresh Christian. Woo, glory to God, fresh right off of the assembly line. And the Spirit of God was just bubbling up inside of me, and I couldn't help it. And I seen people's hands started to lift to the ceiling, and as I saw them lift, reaching their hand heavenward, they realized that it's been a long time. It'd been a long time since they'd been saved, but they just got reminded because, oh, that made me think about when I got saved, you know. And sometimes we have to look back in the Word of God, and we have to see God working throughout the Word and see what the Lord has done to kind of refresh our minds and our memories, so that we'll look back and to see what God has done for us, so that we might be able to rejoice and give God honor and praise and glory, and to be able to reach up to God and begin to start to see the worship services starting to wind up a little bit, and the Spirit of God and you letting go, and the Holy Ghost just touching your life, and man, just let it happen. You see, Philip was preaching the word of God as he preached Christ to this city, and he just let the Spirit of God just work with him, and man, he was putting his life on the line and putting himself in danger, but he was preaching the powerful word of God. And as those that reached out to him and received it, God was blessing, God was healing, and God was saving. Thank you, Lord. But it goes on and it says in the 9th verse, there's a but in every crowd. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him they gave regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. You got to remember, this was before YouTube and all of that. This was before, you know, the internet and stuff like that. So this man was showing them magical tricks and using sorceries and led them to see things that they'd never seen, and they couldn't figure out, wow, how did that happen? You know, like palming things, you know, like, and you know, different things like that. And also using witchcraft. It's a real thing. And those that were sitting there looked at him and they were amazed, and they said, ah, that's a great man. That's a powerful man. He's a man of mystics. There's power in that man. And so they looked up to him, Brother Dan. And they watched him and they held him in high regard. And you can't hold it against them. You know and understand that what it was like, and if they never really seen stuff like that, and this, he was bringing himself out as some great man. And he was one that I think would have been hard to convince about the things of God. But you got to remember the heart motives of folks. Some folks come to the altar with the motives in their heart that you know, just for sight, just for those that can see them. But let's look on. But it goes in the 12th verse. But when they believe Philip, and preaching the tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And I believe in his mind, Simon felt as if he was sincere about things and felt like that you know, he arrived and he got there and he gave his life to the Lord, because when he saw these things of God, you know, he kind of thought, wow, that's awesome. So Simon gave his life to the Lord and he followed Philip. Sometimes I wondered if it's not just for his own agenda. But let's read on. And now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard Samaria and received the word of God, let me back up for you. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. That's powerful. You see, they were baptized in water. They were baptized to getting saved, and they turned their lives around. But they were only baptized in water. But Peter and John came and started preaching about the Holy Ghost. And as they laid hands on them, they had the evidence of speaking in tongues, and the power of God was falling upon them. And they saw it, and Simon saw it, and he was in awe of all of that. And when Simon saw that, through like the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Thank you, Lord. I don't want to beat up Simon too bad. You know, I don't. He possibly had the right motives, you know, but sometimes I think that the brother just kind of was dealing with it and saw this and thought, like, I can be back on top of again. If I could receive this kind of power, people would look at me and respect me again. Because the eyes of the people were being taken off of him and onto Philip and onto the apostles, and seeing the power of God and heavenward. So he offered money for this. You know, I mean, you can't buy the gift of God. You just can't. And there's nothing that you can do or pay or anything else. There's nothing that you can give to God as far as monetary to receive these things. You can't teach somebody how to or whatever. But as Simon offered money, Peter looked at him and said unto him, in the 20th verse, he says, said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." That's a slap across the face, isn't it? You see, if Simon's heart was truly converted, he would have just received it and just loved God for it, and then sought God's face for it. That's what I trust. But Peter told him that you need to repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Lord, have mercy. And when Simon said, and then answered Simon and said, I almost started playing Simon Says game, didn't I? Yeah. And Simon says, then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye, Lord, for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken upon me shall come upon me." And they when they had testified and preached the word, the Lord returned to the word of the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in villages of the Samaritans. There is the power of God, as we were speaking earlier, was moving through that city of Samaria. The Spirit of God was touching people, and they were finding new lives. There were those that truly gave their hearts and their lives to the Lord, and the power of God was being manifested throughout all of the city. But you see, there's services, and the power of God is being manifested and shown in the whole group, everybody. And there's those that honestly and earnestly give their hearts to the Lord, and the power of God has changed their lives, turned them around, and they brought them from an alcoholic to a clean brother, from a long-haired man and unshaved and homeless, into a man that's wearing a suit that you don't even recognize them. That's an honest and earnest heart. The power of God started on the inside and worked its way out. I've seen it happen, and I know it happens, because Brother Joe stood in front of me one night at Bethel, and he said to me, and I was talking to a brother that was there, that came to church there, and he said to me, "Hey, Brother Cliff." "Hey, brother, how you doing, Joe?" And he shook my hand, you know, and hugged my neck, you know, and he said, "Have you seen Lauren?" I said, "Yeah, he's right here." "No." And I said, "Yeah, that's." And then he started talking to him, and he recognized him from his voice. Well, the week before, his hair was down to his shoulders, and he had a beard, and he was living at the mission, and he was made from inside out. He was made a brand new man. And I knew the brother, and I knew that he was honest and earnest about the things of God. And that's the thing about it, is that we got to show fruit in our spiritual walk, in our life. We need to show the fruit. We need to have the right motives, because we've seen them come in, all of us. We've seen them all in our lifetimes as Christians. We've seen those that had the right motives and those that didn't have the right motives. Those that had the mindset for God and those that I'm not sure. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, it says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Everything that has a stamp Christian on it is not Christian. We were on Harrison and Perryville a few weeks ago on a Saturday afternoon, taking my wife junk shopping into the junk stores and stuff. And that's kind of a thing that, you know, every once in a while we like to go do, because she'll find things and, "Oh, that's so nice. It's only $10. I'm thinking to myself, "Well, who's got to put that together? Who's got to carry that in the house? Wonder what my brother's doing." But you see, not everyone that nameth that says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when I read that one time, and I saw that in the Word of God, it kind of gave me a little bit moment for pause. And I had to kind of take self-inventory and look inside for myself. You see, all those that were saved and born again under the ministry of Philip, there were those that might have kind of escaped the right way. We see that Simon was having a difficult time, and Peter looked at him and said, "Your heart ain't right, man. You need to repent and get your life right with God so that God doesn't get a hold of you and have to spiritually whoop you, or you find yourself in a place where it's hotter than my car was when we started it up this afternoon. It was 114 degrees because it was facing the sun." I thought, like, my goodness, have we landed there? But he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Thank you, Jesus. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." So now it's the sober time. It's the soberness of it all. I'm not so much preaching at you, because I'm preaching to this fellow that stand right here in front of you. I've got to practice what I preach. I got to live it. And if I don't, then I'm a hypocrite. So God, give me the strength to be able to stand and be that real man of God that you really need me to be. Philip, and he was a real man of God. Brother Joe, Brother Husky, those are real men of God. Brother Terman, Brother Gary, and you brothers that sit before me, I consider you real men of God. And I look at you, I know your lives, I know who you are. And you know what's good about a preacher repeating stories? You know what's good about that? Because when they repeat them, they're always the same story. And I know mom and dad and the kids are looking out there going, like, "Oh, no, you can tell that story again." Yeah, tell it again. Because when he tells it again, We know it's the truth because it's always the same. We know that he's speaking truth to us. So, Brother Gary, if you ever want to repeat a story in your life, you just go right ahead because we know it's true then. So there. How you like them Apple Jacks? And it says, it goes on in chapter 20, in verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. If you have right motives, if you live right before God, if you serve God and love him and work for him and do the right things and you're truly saved, you're truly saved. You know, one day I had to ask myself because the devil was beating me up and telling me, he said, you ain't saved. And then I looked around and I thought, well, maybe you're right. And I audibly said that out of my mouth, and maybe you're right. Well, then I said, well, wait a minute. If I'm not saved, why are you bothering me then? If I'm not really saved, why are you bothering me? So shut up. Brother Joe's been through that. He's had to deal with it. You all have been through that. We all have to deal with it. The devil will come along and throw those fiery darts at you, make you think that, well, maybe, no. Devil, step on. Go on, let the Lord rebuke thee. I'm standing behind the Lord. Let him take care of it. God's going to fight my battles. God's going to fight my battles for me. But you see, I just want you to check yourselves. Make sure, you know, because, you know, when we get a little bit older in this thing, it becomes robotic sometimes to us. And we just kind of go through the motions and we walk through it and we feel like that we're doing the right things. And then, because... It becomes habit, which is good, but let's not get stuck in a rut to the so deep that we're going through the motions that our inner man and our heart and our motives of our heart have kind of floated away, and unbelief has come in there and came in and nested. Sometimes we got to turn around. We got to get a good prayer time in and get a hold of God and start sweeping the floor and get the garbage out and open up the door and kick stuff out the door and get the garbage out of our lives. Because sometimes we allow a lot of garbage in the corners. If you go to my basement, oh, glory to God. We try to keep it clean, but my house is so small, it looks like it's a mess down there. It looked like somebody went down there and lit up 5 sticks of dynamite and pulled up the plunger and went like that over in one corner. All the rest of it looks nice because I got to work out down there, me and my brother. But you see, sometimes it just gets to be cluttered up inside of here. And the Spirit of God's got to come through. And he's got to open the doors. And when mom gets in the spring of the year, she gets in the mood. And my wife does that every once in a while. She's got in the mood the other day. She got her a dirt steamer. I don't want to say the word devil. Anyway, she got a dirt devil, and I'm starting, I'll cast you out of here in the name of, you know, so steaming floors and sanitizing everything and cleaning things up. Like when I walked in from work, I looked and see, I know better what to do. When I walk in the door and I see things kind of tidied up, I stop at that door, untie my shoes, get them shoes off right at the door, and don't even step out there. Pick my clothes up, and you pick all your clothes up. I mean, inside and outside clothes, both, all of them. You don't leave your dirty socks in the middle of the hallway when mama is cleaning. Well, Brother Gary, I'm the only one there, and I catch it all. You got some buffers, and I don't. I got dogs, but they, you know, they wear fur, and they don't wear, you know, so... They just get in trouble all their own. But as mama's cleaning up the house and she got that dirt devil going and she steam cleaned all the floors, and when I walk in, Sister Sarah, and I see the couches have been all fluffed up, the pillows are all clean, and the things you sit on so you don't scratch the leather. I don't know what they call them, covers, whatever, you know, what the stuff that she puts on it. And if it's straightened out tight and you could bounce a quarter on it and catch it, because she was, you know, her dad was in the military. you know better just what to do. Carry your cooler all the way to the kitchen and set it on the table. Don't be setting it in the doorway. You can get away with it when she ain't home and then pick it up later. But when mom's cleaning out, open up the doors and the house is smelling pine saw fresh, sometimes we need to get in here and say, okay, God, let me have it. Let me have it. Clean me up, Lord. Give me a new heart, Lord. Give me a new mind, Lord God. Refresh me. Give me a new spirit, Lord God. Make me brand new, Lord. Refresh me, Lord. Clean my heart from top to bottom. Thank you, Lord. And when we had worship service tonight, the Lord is coming. When that I hear that song, it just touches my heart deep. And you guys are lucky that I don't burst out singing, because I want to do it. I want to sing it because if you start hearing me and my joyful noise is like, y'all holding your ears. So that's why I can just strum on the guitar and say, okay, the Lord's coming. And pray and cry and talk to the Lord. But the Bible tells us all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to remind you once again, I know that I've said that once before, but I'm going to say it twice tonight. All those that say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Got to take it with a grain of salt today. I'm sorry to say. I said. Like Simon said, hey man, I got saved. I'm saved, but hey, I got some money here. If you could give me that gift to whoever I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Ghost, wow. Man, I could open up a whole new ministry. And he looked at him and says, boy, it just ain't right. He had the stamp on him. All those who say, Lord, Lord, ain't Christians. But those who love the Lord, with all their mind, heart, and soul, they're the people of God. You know, one day I asked the Lord, I said, God, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know for sure that I'm saved? And he says, well, if you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're saved. If you hate them, you backbite them, and you talk about them behind their back, you better check yourself, fella. You better get to the altar and get something right with God. So I just go by the word of God and take God's word for it. And I receive it that way. I'll close with this scripture. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Just bear fruit. Bear fruit in your life. Let the Spirit of God be manifested in your life. Why? Because somebody, you know, when a fruit tree bears fruit, what happens? Somebody comes and reaps a harvest from it. Somebody comes out there. Sometimes they get two apples. Maybe they get three apples. Maybe they get a couple of pears or whatever, you know, kind of tree, that whatever kind of fruit that you bear. But bear fruit. Bear fruit as a person of God. Then somebody will come by you and just think about it. They'll be like, oh, you ever get around somebody in a bad mood? And then when you get away from them, you're walking away in a bad mood yourself, and you're snapping just like they were. Like you feed off of that spirit. But if you get around somebody in a joyful spirit, you know, and you just enjoy talking to them, and when you walk away from them, the Spirit of God is just like, whoo, you feel good. Or after, if you got to church and you kind of dragged in and the world has just slapped you down and you feel like the whole world is sitting on top of you and putting you in a headlock, and you get out of church and after song service and the word has been preached and the Spirit of God, and you've prayed and entered into the presence of God and been around the brothers and sisters in the Lord, and then you feel good. Have you ever walked out and said, man, that was a good service? Huh? You ever done that? I feel good now. I feel better than I did when I walked in. Thank you, Lord. So bear fruit so that when you're out amongst the world, they can see it in your lives. And they might be able to receive something from the way that you live, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the actions that you have in your life. That you're not really ready to rip somebody's face off, but just let them know. But you as the people of God, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We ask you, Lord Father God, to bless it, Lord Father, as you have. And bless it to the strength and the nourishment of our souls and our spirit, Lord God. Let us to walk godly and uprightly before all men. And Lord, help us, Lord Father God, to always, always remember that you are God and Jesus is our Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.